So, what did you do for New Year's?
I knew you were going to ask me that. No, I've already declared my New Year's activity off limits. I'm maintaining my private life.
to keep the prying eyes of the Yahoo commentariat from writing, loser!
That's paparazzi.
So you're trying to tell me that what you did was more interesting than what I did?
More or less.
Yeah, which means that because I just watched Florida State kick the crap out of South Carolina. I mean, for all but like a quarter of that game, all right, how about not they, just Greg Reed alone.
Yeah, man. Greg Reed was a monster last night.
Yeah, he had one of those, like, that was like, he had star power on. He had the...
Yeah, that's one of those rare games where you can tell, like, this guy is really good. And he was a five-star recruit. So that was the game where you can tell, like, okay, this guy's going to be an All-American next year.
Yeah, but when Greg Reed, when a guy like him is double amped for a game, the plan being, by the way, that Greg Reed should just have his dad come out of jail before every big game, right?
It's true. They should have him, Jimbo Fisher should frame him up for like a six-day crime every Sunday.
Exactly. He can't
have him out ready to go.
And you don't want to sour the relationship. You want to do it in a subtle manner, you know?
Well, only for big games.
Yeah, only
for like Miami, the ACC championship.
You can't abuse that. I don't think you could pull that out for Wake Forest.
No.
You know?
I get a little old.
We're here to ostensibly discuss the Ticket City Bowl. Is this, by the way, we can just go ahead and sign off on this being the worst game today?
Yeah, this may be the worst game ever on New Year's Day.
I don't know. Like, I'd actually have to go back and look at that. I'm sure there have been some real atrocities on New Year's Day.
Oh, in the last, we'll say in the last 20 years.
Yeah, this is like the record company band that gets on the ticket of the Super Tour, right? This is the
yeah.
This is like if you had, you know, if for like, I don't know, just if you had like four or five stellar bands, and then like Tonic was playing. If you just had some terrible...
It's the zombie Cotton Bowl. I mean, you have a New Year's Day game in the Cotton Bowl, which is not the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, because the Cotton Bowl now I always feel like the Cotton Bowl
Bowl is too good for the Cotton Bowl.
It's like the Orphan Bowl of the, like, old aristocrats, you know? It's like Turkey or the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It's just kind of off on its own.
Yeah, but it's trying to get there. It's trying to get there. You know, they moved it up a week. And they got it in the big fancy new stadium. They're working on it.
Yeah, they're working on it. And in the meantime, there's this interloper. Which, never mind, by the way, that this is sponsored by Ticket City, who's, you know, which to me, you might as well have your entire bowl game sponsored by a betting service. Right? That would be the only way to create like a larger sort of conflict of interest with the events you sponsor. Right? Than having a ticket fencer sponsor your game. But it's worse because these, you know, you could actually have a good matchup in this bowl game and they don't. They have Texas Tech versus Northwestern. What's the line on this game?
The line, Texas Tech by 8. Any game where Texas Tech is favored by 8 points is a terrible game.
I don't think, I went looking for this, by the way, for you know, events. Like, oh, what are the teams going to be doing? You know, what sort of fun are they going to... There's no information. There's nothing on the tickets.
They don't even have a website.
No, they don't. They don't even have it. They have like an announcement, and that's it. There's like an announcement, and hey, we're playing an exhibition bowl. This is the cheapest pretense to sell tickets and put a game on television that I've seen. This is cheaper than the St. Pete Bowl, because at least St. Pete's
won something on in the Cotton Bowl at some point. I mean, they just paid like $45 million to renovate it. And the only thing that they do there is Oklahoma, Texas. They have to do something.
Yeah, I mean, REO Speedwagon doesn't tour anymore. Because that's like, you know, when I think of the Cotton Bowl and things other than football games that go on there, I think of like, you know, blue-collar rock tours from like 1985, right?
AstroTurf.
Yeah, exactly. Like, see Nazareth at the Cotton Bowl. I don't think of, you know, Tommy Tuberville in the middle age crisis of his career versus Pat Fitzgerald. I'm kind of, this is, my wagering has been so bad this season, just so bad, that I'm tempted to just lean on Northwestern for this game for no reason other than I think they're going to lose. Therefore, they'll probably win.
I think that may be a good bet. I mean, you remember last year, Northwestern played one of the great bowl games ever against Auburn last year. That game was insane, and they almost pulled that one out. This one, I mean, there's no way. I mean, Texas Tech deserves to be an 8-point favorite in this game because Northwestern is awful. I mean, they haven't scored 30 points in a Big Ten game. They're gonna have to score 30 points against Texas Tech. They go 48 to Illinois, 70 to Wisconsin. They're going to give up more than 30 against Texas Tech, and they don't have their starting quarterback. There's no reason that Wisconsin would win this game. Therefore, there's no reason that Northwestern would win this game. Therefore, Northwestern is probably going to win the game.
I would say this, given total like superstition at this point, given the Big Ten's hot streak, 2-0 at the moment, right? I'll go ahead and guess that they go to 3-0, even though there's really very little reason for this. Besides Texas Tech also, by the way, losing their defensive coordinator to seek other opportunities. That was the phrase, yeah. To seek other opportunities. Allegedly following...
Their opportunities to stay out of prison.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly following some sort of domestic violence incident. That's alleged. Unlike Mike Haywood's, which is alleged... but was totally in the paper. That's with a mugshot.
Yes, with marks on the woman.
Yeah. Can we? Hey, let's divert for a minute. If you don't read Pit Blather, written by Chaz, it's a fantastic Pit blog that has been for years. He's kind of out in the wilderness, continually updating people on the status of Pit football. God bless him for it. But he was writing this morning that they're deeply screwed. Like, deeply screwed. Just not only, like, because they lost their coach, but Peterson as AD there, right? After driving Nebraska to the ground.
The Bill Callahan hire.
Yeah, the Bill Callahan hire. Think about it. He's responsible now for the Bill Callahan hire. And perhaps through no fault of his own, you know, for the Mike Haywood debacle. Is there an AD right now who has, you know, two worse hires to his name?
No, you know, maybe Mike Garrett, or Mike Hamilton, but I don't know who the second one would be other than Lane Kiffin in either one of those cases. And Mike Garrett is not even employed anymore.
So. Well, yeah, because like with Mike Hamilton, like Bruce Pearl, everyone still loves Bruce Pearl, even though he's potentially going to get them in some hot water with the NCAA, because I think everyone recognizes that basketball coaches are essentially, you know, they're all shifty. They're all essentially like bootlegging Bible salesmen, right?
Yeah, they all look like mob henchmen.
Right, and they all look like mob henchmen. I think everyone acknowledges that. So even the Bruce Pearl hire, Bruce Pearl's good. He's very good at what he does. He just, you know, happens to be in this like really filthy environment in terms of college basketball. But who on earth, who could they hire? Like, who could they get at this point now that everyone else is either sort of on the hook or is being wooed by another school?
Well, Mike Leach, throw him in there. if Maryland is possibly going after Rich Rodriguez after today, you know, maybe Rodriguez will be open.
My wife, I mean, my wife from the other room just yelled Ron Prince. She's a keeper.
Always available.
Ron P for Pitt. Going back to the actual game that we have to talk about, which we really don't have to talk about, you know. I mean, you've been to Dallas, right?
I'd say it again.
You've been to Dallas, correct?
I've been through Dallas.
Okay, so you wouldn't be able to testify as to the validity of their nightlife or not. Whether this would be like a fun bowl game for someone to go to.
No, but I mean, I can imagine. I mean, Cotton Bowl was there for many, many years. So, you know, I can imagine that they know how to put on a bowl game in Dallas. But I don't think that they care about this one.
No, I think the care is going to be very, very low, you know. Although you want to talk about another
This is like
advantage.
11 a.m. kickoff or noon.
It's a noon kickoff. It's going to be 11 a.m. Central.
Yeah, 11 a.m. local time. Yeah, they're not for Texas Tech and Northwestern. I don't think that they're going to
No, I
be
think
breaking
what.
out the fireworks this one.
Yeah, you know, the Wildcats don't have one of my favorite names in the Big Ten, RB Fields, which is
That's
just. That's so sad that they don't have Arby. But they, you know, also looking at this, this is a Texas Tech team that just is now falling into the Tuberville mold of not scoring, but they don't have the defense or the defensive talent that they had. It's really like, I know this is the plan, and I know this is what Tuberville's wanting to do. It's just, does it fill you with a kind of sadness? It does me.
Yeah, it does me too. Yeah, I give him credit for waiting a year to just openly dismantle the last decade of Texas Tech football, which is the only interesting decade of Texas Tech football ever. And so now they'll go back, and they may continue to win 7, 8 games a year that they won under Leach, but nobody's going to care. They're not going to be lighting up any school boards or making it interesting.
Yeah, it's just it's like the pa it's the passing of an era. And it's the passing of an era. It's not like they're going to some sort of, you know, equally wacky attack, right? It's not like they're going to something equally entertaining. No, they're just going back to like economical football.
We're gonna run the zone,
Yeah.
stretch.
Zone stretch and we're going to punt, you know. That alone really has me like leaning Northwestern in this game. Even though seriously, screw the Big Ten because I'm going to be putting up with Big Ten trolls. Woo, yeah, Big Ten! Big Ten
And Big
football!
Ten's 2-0. SEC's 0-3.
0-3, man! 0-3, thanks to the SEC East. The SEC East is so bad. I mean, I was saying this for a good portion of the year. I was right!
Everybody has been saying that for a good portion of the year.
No. Stupid people haven't been. They're like, no, man. I mean, it's just tough. They're a little down, but it's just tough, right? No. This is worse than everyone imagined, through and through. And for UCF, by the way, I was actually mildly excited for UCF.
I was a little bit. I didn't think that that was that huge of an upset. I mean, I thought that that was a pretty even game going in.
I thought
I
it
mean,
was.
you have a 10-game winner on one side and a conference champion against a 6-6 team. I mean, that's a pretty even matchup.
I don't know. This is the most perplexing thing about that I heard in that game was Andre Ware say, "Man, I really like this game. Mike Bobo's calling." Really? Really? You like the game? This
The
is when
zero touchdown game.
they were sitting on three at that point, right? They'd get to six. That was and Andre Ware, "Man, I really like the game he's calling right now." You're paid to do
Yeah,
this?
it's got the touch.
Oh,
So, is this
God.
going to be the second year in a row that Rick jettisons a coordinator to save himself?
No, I don't think so. I think he's done with that. I think you get one staff cleanup every 10 years. That's it. I think you get one every 10. That's a rule. And then if that doesn't work, you'll just quit. Really, like I think there is a vein of thought in the Georgia fan base. And not among those who don't have knowledge. I mean these are people who are around the program and really kind of get Rick and understand what he does. They think he'd just leave, go, you know, do missionary work and get all churchy, you know, because he'd be fine with that. There's not a lot of coaches you can say that about, that they'd be fine without football. Mark Richt would be totally fine without football. That's what some people think that's the problem, right? You know, like we would
Yeah.
at Florida, that wouldn't fly. I'd be fine without football, really. I'm sorry, you need to see the door. You need to leave. I think we'll stop there.
Okay.
That's